your personal life is just as important, if not more important, than what you do for a living. And so being able to actually live that and express that in a way that works for you, while also being able to financially take care of yourself. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 1 of Heal Your Roots podcast. Today's episode is going to give you lots of perspective and insight on building a profitable, thriving therapy practice, or really any collective, but on your terms. With me today are my co-hosts, Kira Yakubov, who is the lead therapist and the founder of Heal Your Roots Wellness, and Aran Plashansky, who is the director of growth and marketing. Say hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
So listeners, the first episode, we are going to talk about the first steps in how they went about growing their business and growing their media together as, dun, 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 a couple. They are a married couple for over a year now. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
One of the major reasons that you all wanted to start this podcast, aside from being a new division and something new to offer to the listeners, to your clients, and also the other therapists out there who want to maybe build their own practice or build their own brand, was so that each person listening can get to know the members of Heal Your Roots Wellness. So let's start with both of you. So Kira, tell us about what you do within Heal Your Roots.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle. So like you mentioned, I'm the founder and lead therapist. I also wear a lot of hats. I do the insurance, the billing, all the administrative things, interviewing and hiring the therapists, checking in with them, with everybody, making sure everything's going smoothly, and also working on the marketing with Aran as well.
So you're definitely fully involved.
Oh, yeah. Everything you do. Yeah. This is a full-time job. This is our business. It's our baby. Yeah.
And then Aran, you're the director of growth and marketing. So tell me and tell the listeners what you do within Heal Your Roots.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. So director of growth and marketing. So I deal with everything to help the business scale. So from the marketing perspective, I do all our social media. We do our ads, the website, making sure that we have blog posts going out on a weekly basis, videos, content for the audience or potential audience, so that they can get little snippets of value to show what mental health practice and giving time to that has the benefit to the individual. So that's from the marketing, and that's also from the growth perspective, is putting in all the systems to help this be sustainable. From my background, I kind of don't like doing repetitive tasks, so I enjoy putting the systems in place to make things easier, get it done easier, faster, so that we don't have to spend as much time on that. So that's in addition to the social media, the marketing, the ads. It's things like increasing our scheduling system so that the scheduling is a faster process for everybody involved. Instead of having to play phone tag or send 5 emails to figure out the right schedule, you have a web portal to schedule and reschedule things easily. It's having automations in place so that the business is, the individuals are not busy working on the minutiae of the business, and we can grow and spend our time and focus on the areas that help the clients and help growth, and it's not just the busy work. So that's what is growth and marketing for us. And then there's all the other things, you know, it's a business that's run just by the two of us for the time being. And everything that needs to get done needs either Kira or myself to get it done. So that's dealing with attorneys, dealing with business renewals, things like that. So it's a lot of hats to wear, but as the business grows and as the industry grows, as mental health becomes more socially, not just acceptable, but becomes the norm, where we need to focus on our mental health just as much as we focus on our physical health, there's going to be a growing demand, and we're positioning ourselves to be able to provide that to the clients.
I love that. That was such a great in-depth background as to just a touch of what goes on and what's going to be amazing is that in this episode, that is why we chose to go through the steps of all of it. So you're going to hear with us all chatting. We're all friends here. I'll tell you a little bit about who I am in just a second, but you are going to hear in this episode about the origin story. How did Heal Your Roots get started? How did you both decide you were going to work together? What is the main goal for the therapists? What are you doing? You mentioned growth a lot, Aran, right? So the growth, not only within the marketing, but the growth that you want to see within this industry. And that is one of the main reasons why you both told me that you wanted to start something like this and get the voices out there of your practice and other professionals that you talk with and that you collaborate with. And one of those collaborations is myself. I'd like to say your favorite person in the whole world.
I would like to chime in on that. I would, as the husband, hope to be the favorite person, but maybe second.
So we don't have to fight, right? There's enough love to go around.
There's enough love to go around. So where I come in at and why I want to share this story with you both as well as the listeners is the way that I've seen just in working together with Kira and Aran in producing this podcast is how they take elements of themselves on a personal level and implement it into the professional level. So for example, they have always been very welcoming to me as a new friend from just the past few years. Kira and I actually met together throughout a mental health organization that I run, Still Standing Together, and she and I were instant friends, and immediately she brought me to meet her husband, who also has taken me in like family, and that is what they do with the therapists and clients of this practice, and that is huge, and so I commend you both for that, because I think it's really important, and it goes along so well with what the intention was for this main episode, this prime number one episode with Heal Your Roots podcast, and that is to help to expose the listeners and any clients, future and current clients, about how the therapists are as humans. You are actually humans with real emotions. Tell us about that part of it and why it's so important to get that out there to people, because in a therapy session, the therapist might not be able to show those things.
Yeah, you make a great point. So part of wanting to do this was kind of both sides, the micro and macro, and on the individual level is for the therapists also to have a platform where they can talk about things that interest them, the things that they actually do to help people, so you can get a feel for their personality and kind of who they are and if their lived experiences or other training resonates with you. But also to help everybody, because mental health is always important and even more so right now, especially these past few years. So I found that I wanted to help as many people as I can as a therapist, but also recognize that therapists are also people and they need to take care of themselves and make an income and live their lives and, you know, do what they preach. And if we're helping everybody take care of, you know, self-care, to prioritize themselves and their happiness and fulfillment, we also need to focus on doing that. And I wanted to create a private practice that prioritized therapists and not only clients, but both, right? Like a balance of everyone's taken care of and everyone's health and all the ways and well-being is being addressed.
That's beautiful. And I want to go back then. I want to go back to that conversation where that magic happened. What was it like in the kitchen with your pup and you and Aran talking and saying, I want to do this. I want to bring together people and I want to take care of not only the deep conversations happening with the clients, but I also want to take care of and offer these deep conversations with therapists to make sure that they're supported as well. So take us back. What was that story?
Our first date?
No, that's way too far.
No,
that's...
but really it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Aran asked me what my 5-year plan was, and luckily I had one.
And here we are 5 years later.
Yeah, 5 years. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to take it back, I already started my solo private practice, I think 6 months prior to the pandemic happening actually. And then everybody went remote, and I was getting super burnt out. I mean, we're going in, it was the middle of winter, the pandemic. I also have seasonal depression, and I was just really burnt out. And I also, as my career, I had to be there to support other people, but this felt different. This is the first time that I was also going through the same thing that everybody else collectively was going through. And I was maxed out. Like, I had as many clients as I could see, and I had to turn people away. And it was a shame, because there was a lot of people that, you know, the specialties that I provide, the things that they were looking for would have really been a great match. But unfortunately, I couldn't take anybody else. And I remember it was in the summertime. It was like a birthday party, and my brother was there. And both my brothers are very entrepreneurial. And he said it very matter of fact in a very simple way, like, why don't you start a group practice? Like, why are you turning people away? Why don't you bring on therapists and help them make money, and you don't have to turn people away? And it sounded so simple, and obviously it's very hard and it's complex. But I talked to my husband that night. I'm like, we could do that. Like, why couldn't we do that? Like, yes, I have to learn all the things, but in all actuality, like, it is possible for us to do this. And he has the business mindset that I was not taught in grad school or exposed to, and the marketing and data analytics, all the things that I was not interested in doing or had the skills in yet. So it just seemed like a good idea at the time.
And all things that may hold people back from actually moving forward into, whether it's just presenting themselves as their own brand as a therapist while working within a different group practice, right? So the story that you're telling is amazing, because it's such a complimentary story to it. Things can happen on your own, but also look to other people who can help you to make things happen when it becomes a little bit more intimidating, mm-hmm. right? Because you're a therapist, you know that so well.
Sure.
You know that part so well. And so that's what we find in people who try to venture into making their own business. They don't feel they have all of the skills necessary, sure. and it could stop you. So I love that you were able to communicate that to Aran. And Aran, tell me, like, what were you thinking? Were you like, yes, I am in, right? Because you were coming from a different industry in terms of the day-to-day.
Yeah, I mean, the idea made a ton of sense. It was something that was a logical next step that we were just not even thinking about. It, with everything else that was going on in our lives, it just didn't make sense. And then this all kind of happened in a serendipitous time where it all just coalesced, and it just kind of made sense to, yeah, why not do this? It's going to be more work for a while, but it's going to provide us in the long term less work. And with me and my mindset about systems, I immediately saw, oh, we can do this, and that to make it work. And we just need to allocate X amount of time and resources to this and make that happen. So it was just a matter of figuring out how to do this. And with how we've been intentionally living our lives over the last several years, it made perfect sense. I knew that we're going to have to make a lot of compromises. We're going to have to make a lot of investments emotionally, physically, financially, mentally, that ultimately, if we keep going at it, it could be very fruitful for ourselves and for a lot of the people that we work with and provide services with. So it was more of a question of, like, why didn't we do this earlier?
Oh, that's a great question. I know. And it's something that I feel excites you and is so aligned for both of you right now that it's just, like, magical to see. So that's why we're doing this, so everybody can hear a little bit more. So you both kind of mentioned different steps and this and that had to be done. So what are the this and the that has to be done to make this work, not only as a couple, because we're going to get there. We're going to get to how this works as a couple in marriage, but as two people working together on a business. Tell us what the day-to-day looks like, what the meetings look like. How does it work?
Sure. I mean, in the beginning, it was basically Aran and I sat down and he said, tell me all the things that you do on a regular basis. And we went through all the steps, and he was able to pick out and highlight, okay, we can automate this, we can make a template for this, we can do that. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have to spend hours and hours doing this stuff alone, because, you know, I would procrastinate because I didn't know how to do it and it felt uncomfortable and it was scary and it reminded me that I don't know what I'm doing, in a way, that imposter syndrome. But this really helped us focus on what can we automate, what can we delegate, what can we get rid of, and what am I doing in an inefficient way that I would not have known if I didn't take the time to assess and evaluate it, which made sense for me because that's what I do as a therapist, is help people assess and evaluate themselves and what comes up for them. So it was a lot of brainstorming together.
Yeah. So for me, it was a lot of learning the industry specifically. My background has never been in mental health, but I have had a lot of background in building systems and learning new organizations and new industries. So it was a matter, to learn the matters that go with mental health and just healthcare in general, that there's a lot of sensitive information involved with that you have to be cognizant of, and you have to be respectful of the information and also the laws that go around with it. So it's a lot of education. And then for me, it was learning how to communicate with somebody that deals with things very differently in a professional setting, where, and we'll go to the relationship part of things, it's communicating with somebody with a total different professional perspective than I have, where Kira's background has been in therapy for the past, basically her entire professional career, and mine has always been as a consultant or a service provider and providing the kind of analytics and the data aspect of things. So it's very matter of fact. So understanding all of that and really
giggles.
Yeah, it's about learning how to communicate effectively and respectfully, where this is all by choice, right? This is all super intentional, and I can't quit this job because I don't like my coworkers, and I don't want to not like my coworkers because we had a tough meeting. And it's separating the, not separating the personal and business, because you can't,
sure,
right? It
absolutely
is. It's not like as soon as I walk into my office, it shuts down and she's no longer my wife. So it was a big part of that, of getting that balance between professional and we need to accomplish something. So don't walk around eggshells just to avoid the discussion that needs to be had to take us to the next step. So I think that was the big challenge for me. And that's, I think, is ultimately it's the catch 22, or maybe maybe a better term would be it's the flip side of the coin when you're working with people by choice, as compared to when you are hired into a role and you're being pulled into an organization where you have to just fit in. And if you don't like something, you just have to kind of like bite your tongue about it and just find a way to make it work, whether or not it's the best for the business. You just make it work. Where for here, if it's not the best for the business, it's not the best for the baby that we're building together, and it's really just hurting ourselves. So it's like, how do you balance all of that, I think, is the bigger challenge for me. Where before, in my prior work experiences, it's what's the best for the organization. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm being paid to do. What's the best for the organization, not the how do I maintain this relationship, which admittedly has been a struggle of mine, right, that I've been working on in my mental health journey as I learn to become more self-aware and understand what's going on with me. So I think that was the big challenge for me as we started doing this, to figure out how to do it in a way that doesn't stress us or the relationships too far, where it can't snap back.
You mentioned about going into, right? So we're talking about physically being in the room with people, but you two are the only ones in the room with people. Everybody else in the practice is remote. So what are the challenges that have come from that, and how can you fix those for anyone listening who is wanting to start their own practice or business or collective?
So oddly enough, we actually don't work from the same room.
Well, look at that. Okay.
Separate offices. That is-
we work in separate offices because of the nature of Kira's work. She needs to have private space where, you know, she has a soundproof room where it's hers. Her files are there. So we have different workspaces. So a lot of our communication, yes, we can yell to each other through the other room, but it's generally through messages. And yes, we have business meetings our business meetings are generally done on walks with the dog, because we don't need to be sitting down while we're having a lot of these planning discussions. Now, when we're doing analytics, that's sitting down in front of the computer, but that's a role that nobody else in the organization has, right? All our independent contractors, all the therapists, their time and involvement is with their clients. So it would be the equivalent of them commuting into an office to sit and take phone calls. So for them, there's no reason to do that, right? So they all work and do their work in the business because it's their business. They're independent contractors. They all go in and make their money working with their clients, working in the business in their home, in the comfort of their space. And when we work together for different media trainings or different things like that, it's done through online video sessions. We've all been accustomed to it over the last 2 years nearly, right? That this is how it is. This is just how the new normal. So we have calls, we have Google Meets, we have Zoom calls, and it hasn't been a hindrance to anything. In my mind, it makes us able to do it on a more asynchronous time frame, which lets us do it when we're most productive. Because when you're not getting paid to just sit there, you're more intentional with what you're doing with that time. So it's a challenge, but it's not an unattainable challenge.
It sounds like everyone feels as though that new norm, it took you into making this work even better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously the pandemic was extremely difficult on a lot of people in different ways. And I think for the mental health field, it's, yes, more people need therapy. And this allowed therapists a few things, right? Like it's allowed them to work from home, a very flexible schedule where they get more of their time back. And you can help so many more people within a state. So before, my office, when I was a solo practitioner, was in Center City, Philadelphia. And the parking is horrendous if you're from Philly. So you know that you are most likely not going to be driving into the city to see me. You're either in walking distance or taking a train or an Uber. And that significantly limits how many people I can see, or any therapist. And so the therapists we have, they're actually all over Pennsylvania too. So it's wonderful, because I would have probably never met them or had the pleasure of working with them in any other situation, really. I wouldn't have thought about going remotely if it wasn't for the pandemic and this being normalized.
And for clients too, don't you two think that now who they are picking isn't based on location, right? As you were saying, mm-hmm. It's harder to drive in.
Absolutely.
Sometimes. So automatically I might see that not living in the city and be like, that's an ideal therapist for me, right? That's an ideal professional, but I'm not driving into the city mm-hmm. to do that. So it really does open the doors in so many ways for this new, I don't want to say better because that's my biased opinion, but I think better idea of living, with the flexibility and still having the structure that some might need, but having that team working together, although everyone's not in the same room.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that, so it's tough, right? Because in a therapy business, when you're working in person in an office, you try to catch therapists between sessions. Like, oh, because we all have 10 minutes after a session. It's like, oh, how are you doing? You're running to the bathroom. You're grabbing a drink. And unless you have a cancellation, that's when you get to chat with your coworkers. It's like water cooler talk, right? It's by convenience. And it makes that part tougher because it's remote. However, I want to be a lot more intentional, and it's not going to be, oh, because we happen to overlap. It's no, we're planning to touch base. We're planning to all talk and do trainings together, because I want there to be a sense of community and camaraderie, because being a therapist, especially remotely, can be really lonely and isolating. you don't have any coworkers. Your coworker is your client, and it's not really, right? And even as a therapist, you can't even be friends with your clients for obvious reasons. So it's just us in working that job or this career. And so you have to be intentional about building that community outside of those sessions.
So I would definitely say that the things that you've mentioned here that are so valuable is, one, being intentional all around. Two, you mentioned the community and camaraderie aspect of it, right? So having that and how you build that. Now, do you see you two go on dog walks to talk business? I think that's amazing. Is there anything else? Let's kind of switch gears a little bit, because this whole podcast is about making sure that we give the listeners a real perspective of the humans behind the therapy and the techniques and the growth and the marketing, right? So what are some other things you like to do together aside from walking their adorable dog, Hazel?
So what do you think, Ron? Go ahead.
Well, so I want to go back to the question you had from before.
Absolutely.
If we could circle back a little bit, it was, you know, you said you have the good bias, that your bias that it's good to have this, and it has its pros and cons like everything, right? There are people that call and ask if we have sessions in person. That is about 1 in 100, right?
Wow.
I think statistically, out of the last 100 consultations, maybe 1 or 2 asked if we do it in person, and that person had to be turned away. Other than that, the other 98, 99 people that we were able to service throughout the state of PA would have otherwise never been able to do that. So it may be a drawback for a small percentage of the population that would prefer to have an in-person session, and they're entitled to that. Everybody is entitled to do this the way that meets their standards. And by having this platform, we can allow many more customers throughout the state, potential customers, clients throughout the state of PA, to meet with a therapist that is more aligned with their goals and needs. So it's pros and cons. It might not work for everybody, but for the ones that are interested, it increases the reachability and approachability or accessibility. One of those,
all three of those. Oh, I love that perspective too.
So I just wanted to address your question from before. To this current question,
yeah, tell me what you two like to do for fun. And I know you, and there's got to be some like pet names in there. You called him Iran, but I feel like there's got to be like a
something
sugar
about pasta
or something.
Foot or sugar foot. So, a lot of it involves our, you know, spending time with our family, with our dog Hazel. We're in the process of a lot of life transitions, so there's been a lot of time working on those items. Yeah. It's a lot of that. We're in the stages in our life where a lot of our focus has been on building so that we can enjoy it. We like to travel, so that's a big one. I think it's a lot of building so that we can go travel and then build some more so that we can go travel and just keep doing that.
I was going to ask that. I was going to say they love to travel. Yeah. So this is the way that they can still work, have a living that they want, and travel, and then I get to jump on board and come visit. Because the other thing they love to do is hang out with their friend Daniela over here.
That's right.
But it's amazing to watch, and I joke about it, but to watch as a friend, it's really motivational and inspirational to see not only my friends having so much success and being able to give so much support, but also to see that life doesn't have to stop. Life can really be enhanced when you go off on your own and have all of these intentions set for yourselves of this is the lifestyle that I want to live. And I bring that up here before you get to tell us your favorite thing that you also like to do outside of work. I bring that up because one of the main things through these episodes is to help to give you perspective to build exactly who you want to be and where you want to be and do it on your own terms. That is what is really key and kept coming up every time I spoke, we all spoke together about this podcast, but just life in general. So what do you like to do on your own terms, Ms. Kira?
Doing my own terms. I mean, honestly, I'm either working or spending time planning our next trip, trying to figure out how to make it work, or I'm hanging out with my friends. I mean, my relationships are the most important thing to me by far. So quality time with the people I love is usually all it takes to make me happy.
That's your number one love language.
That is my number one love language, is quality time. Yes, I made him take it a long time ago.
What is your love language?
Me?
Yes.
Acts of service.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense for both of you. Do you know, I've never...
You've never taken it?
Taken it. No. I do not know what my love language
you
is.
I mean, I could tell you.
Well, tell me.
Your love language is definitely words of affirmation, physical touch, and quality time.
I always figured it was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mine are too.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. We're allowed to have all of them.
We are?
Yeah. You want to be loved in all the ways. So do I.
Oh, okay. I like this. All right. This is good.
Tune into our Instagram channel. We have some information about love languages in there.
Oh my gosh. At Heal Your Roots Wellness.
That's right.
Everywhere. So I love that. Actually, really go check it out because they do give a lot of great information on there and it's constantly flowing for whatever you're going through in life. I feel like there's always something, some sort of insight or advice or tip or support. That's their business's love language would be their posts.
I just wanted to, go back to what you were saying in terms of like living an intentional lifestyle. I think the whole point of me starting the private practice was because I wanted to have more control over my time and my freedom and what I spend my time doing. Because a lot of the other places that I've internshipped at, worked at, I mean, you have a boss and they have expectations for you and you have to meet them or you don't work there anymore. And I'm not a great employee because every day is a new day for me. And being able to assess when am I the most energized? When do I need more time off? What do I need in order to be my best self is not in alignment with other people's schedule for me to work at. So that doesn't work out great if I work for somebody else. And that used to be a huge piece of contention for me internally, a lot of shame and guilt. And then I realized like, well, I don't have to work these particular hours just because that's what you're supposed to do or however, whatever it is that you're expected to do.
Suppose with the quotes.
With the quotes in the air. Yeah.
The air quotes.
And so I just leaned into it's either the stress of forcing myself to do something I have to because that's my job and I'm expected to do it, or deal with the stress of I have to figure out how to do this on my own, but I can figure that out at my leisure, the times that I need, during the days that I need, take time for family emergencies or seeing people or replenishing. It's really about getting that freedom of your time back because I feel like our time is the most valuable thing we have. So that's really why I started the private practice. It took a lot of support from my husband, my boyfriend at the time, my family, my friends. I think having that support and that community around you, because you're going to have doubts. You're going to have doubts. And as therapists, we constantly doubt ourselves and our ability to do risky things and scary things in business. So having that community and support around you really helped enable me to take this huge leap of faith. So very long-winded, but I just wanted to share that.
I think it's so valuable and you had great points in there, because my question to you is now, do you find that the therapists that you are gravitated towards Heal Your Roots, those therapists are along those same lines with you of how they want to lead their lifestyle? And do you share that with them when you talk to them? Like, do they know this is how we manage things, this is how we want to live, and you know, we want how you want to live to also come into play? Are they similar? Do they usually match up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first thing I shared on like the job posting or when I speak to them is work-life balance is a priority. Like, you set your hours. You can see who you want to see when you want to see them. You can take time off. Like, you are the boss of your life and time. we are just in alignment because I want to give you clients that would be the best fit for you and vice versa, and enable them to also live a life in intention, to do what they want to do. I don't want anyone to ever feel burnt out, or they have to see somebody, or they have to do something that doesn't feel right to them just because it's a job. Like, they're independent contractors. They work for themselves. We just happen to be in alignment with helping each other out in this way and helping the community. So I hope they know, and that they've realized that this far, that they get to plan their life how they want to. And I'm only as involved as they'll allow me to be and want me to be in that way.
And helping to see the success.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I've sat in on a meeting too, and with all the members, including Iran too. And it's wonderful to see the dynamic and the support and the trust, and also then the love that's returned to each of you. And it doesn't feel, you know, my understanding with therapy is that the therapist cannot talk about their personal life. And with you all within the meeting that I sat in, immediately it was like, what's going on here? You all were involved in each other's lives, and it just really set the tone. So I'm glad that you say about making sure that you're involved in as much as they want it to be, but that doesn't interfere with the success of the practice. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, you mentioned work-life balance. So I have a fun little game I want to play.
Love your games.
Fun little game I want to play here.
This is a surprise game to us.
This is a surprise game to them.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to look at each other either.
This is going to be hard.
At the same time. And I think this will be fun because let's see how intentional and aligned those intentions are. So at the same time, I'm going to ask you this question. And I want you, I'll give you a 1, 2, 3. And after I say 3, say your response. In 3 words, tell us what work-life balance means to you. 1, 2, 3.
Always be traveling.
Control my time.
Woo! I like that. One more question now. Okay, I'll give you 1, 2, 3. In your own words, describe what work-life balance means. 1, 2, 3.
For me, it's power of choice. Having the ability to choose and dictate your path on your own terms. And having the accountability and the responsibility of those consequences.
I would say your personal life is just as important, if not more important, than what you do for a living. And so being able to actually live that and express that in a way that works for you, while also being able to financially take care of yourself, is what it would be. Like, not being burnt out, having the choice to spend the time you need on taking care of yourself and the people around you, and doing what you love or what you have chosen as your profession in a way that doesn't take away or cause detriment to your actual personal life.
I like that too. You mentioned financial, and it makes me think something that all 3 of us have discussed before. But to anyone listening, what's your perspective on the financial aspect in this industry and going this direction with having your own practice?
I think this is the best thing that could have ever happened to therapists.
Wow.
Hands down.
Strong.
So when I learned about the ins and outs of therapy and how much therapists make, I was offended for them to learn that they spend so much time and energy, and they get so educated, and they have their master's degrees, and they have all this training, and they take on the burden of everybody's emotional problems. And I was insulted when I learned how much they get paid and for how much they take on. And that's when and then as we saw the pandemic occurring, and first they went virtual, and then everybody's booked constantly, and the supply stayed limited, the demand increased through the roof, and the meanwhile they have a slightly better quality of work or work environment or control over their work. And when we had the realization of, well, here's what we can do if we did this as a group practice, and we started talking about the numbers and like, wait, we can do this in a way that Kira, you can get paid a good amount of money for being the therapist, and everybody else can too. So we realized that a lot of the therapists are going to be able to make a solid income working from home in essentially part-time hours, because all this math is based on the very minimal assumptions that are very attainable on even a part-time basis, where you do this as a second job just in the evenings, or something that a stay-at-home parent could do and support their family from home without having to necessarily introduce childcare or those to make those accommodations. And once we realized that we have, between the two of us, enough of the skill set to be able to create the support system, not just for Kira, but for all these other therapists, and subsequently be able to create value for all their clients, it was a no-brainer for us, where it was in perfect alignment. And that's where, going back to what I said earlier, I couldn't believe we didn't think about this sooner. And that's where we just weren't ready for that and prior to that in our life, because of where we were and what we were doing and everything else that was going on. And one of the silver linings of this whole situation that happened with the pandemic is it created this opportunity and this perfect storm of factors to align to make perfect sense to, let's do this for ourselves, let's do this for all the people that we can help. And just the thought, it just became a constant flow. We were like in a state of flow of like, oh, we can do this and this and that, and this will increase how many people we can help, how many therapists we can help, how many clients we can see, where we can see people, what it allows us to be able to do by no longer being tied to the Philly office. And from there on,
cuts we just kept down on costs, going. Especially yeah. The overhead is one big thing.
Well, it's pros and cons.
It gets pushed to marketing because so part of me recognizing my burnout was that, and something that we don't, in the therapy world, especially as we're in grad school or starting new, you know, positions, whether it's in an agency or something, is that you don't really get asked, who is your ideal client? Who do you want to work with? Who could you best serve? You kind of just get thrown into the mix and you get an experience of a little bit of everything. And you are working so much and providing so much emotional support that you become burnt out and you don't even have time to assess or think about who you could best serve and who you like to work with the most. And so that's a big part of why we really lean into the marketing, why Ron's position is so important, is that when I recognized that, I wanted to make sure that all my therapists, I took time to know who do they want to work with and who can they best serve and in what areas or specialties or backgrounds do they want to grow in, so that when I provide them potential clients, it's a good fit and not just because you're a therapist and this is a person who needs therapy. And that really helps with a lot of the burnout. So if you are doing something that you love, that you're good at, that makes sense for you and you're not overworking yourself and you can make a good living, where part of the burnout is also not being concerned, like, are you going to get paid? I have to see this many clients because otherwise I won't get paid, even if they're not a great fit. And it's a vicious cycle. So if we can do more upfront work of finding the right match for people and getting that worked out, then the rest will really flow and these intentional pieces will fall into place down the line.
It really is key for, I feel, every business owner to know. But again, even if you're just you're not ready or you do not want to be a business owner, for any person who is an employee to know that you do have that option and freedom, however it needs to be built for you in whatever scenario you're in, to really choose who the ideal person is to work with and who you're spending your time with, which is ultimately takes back to one of the reasons you all started this and how you're spending your time. So you mentioned too about areas, and I'm really curious, what are those areas that the therapists cover within the practice? What are some of the specialties there?
Sure, great question. So each of us has something a little bit different and unique, but there's some overlap, which was intentional as well, because I wanted to be able to serve a wide variety of things that come up, but that are common together, so that we can kind of refer to each other or support each other. So I work with individuals, couples, and I also provide sex therapy. And I work with a lot of adults and couples who struggle with anxiety within their relationships, or if they're first or second generation immigrants, and family boundaries and dynamics, relationship dynamics, sexual concerns and issues. And then we also have other therapist, Jocelyn Justy. She also works with adults and couples around similar things. She also has a special interest in anxiety disorders, OCD, life transitions. She's really great with couples who are in conflict or premarital counseling. And then we also have Maureen McCarthy. She has a lot of expertise and training with the transgender community, with couples who are in alternative structures for their romantic relationships. So whether that's polyamorous, ethical or consensual non-monogamy, the queer community, life transitions, trauma, anxiety. And then we also have Elijah Jackson, who works with also the LGBTQI plus community, a lot with queer theory, with racism, sexual and religious trauma. So there's a lot of great background to help a lot of different people with some overlaps. We can all learn from each other. And that's what I want as part of this team, is to be diverse and be able to help a lot of people in very specific ways. And I wasn't looking for a generalist or someone who can do everything, because really that's not true. If you're doing everything, you're not doing something very well. I don't want that to be offensive, but maybe you haven't had the, like when I was going through training or the beginning, you see everybody because that's who you're given and you don't know who you like to work with. So I wanted someone who knew to a certain degree of the area and demographic and presenting issues they wanted to work on and really specialize in.
Wow. Woo! Can we just like, for like...
Is that okay? Is that good?
That was great.
No, that was great. I'm clapping because of all of the areas that you cover. That is just such a reflection of the support that you both want to give the world, not only just the therapist. So, I mean, that just needed a little bit of an applause there. So, yeah, I mean, Aram, what's your take on that from being in a different role and then hearing all these things that you're supporting through your role?
I think it's really cool. I'm really excited about this, that in only a couple of quarters, it's been less than a year since Kira's decided to transition it from a solo practice to a group practice. And in just a couple of quarters, not even a full year, the company has grown. There's triple the amount, quadruple the amount of therapists. The capacity of clients that the organization can see per week, per month has quadrupled. And this, to me, means that there's more opportunity to help more people across the board. It's helping the therapists and it's helping the people that those therapists see. I'm really excited to see this as both the partner, to see Kira do this, to see her step into her role and the responsibility that comes along with it, and seeing her take on the responsibility and the stress that goes along with it about making sure that everybody involved is handled and treated with the utmost respect, that as independent contractors, their time is respected, that they have the right opportunities, that there's a community in the organization, that there's constant opportunity for camaraderie, but there's constantly the opportunity to communicate and connect with the team, even though everybody's remote. And it's just really exciting because I've been working remotely for the past couple of years, independently, remotely, and it's really exciting to see Kira evolve into this role and to see her really step into it. So
I wouldn't say gracefully.
No, not gracefully, but with so much eagerness and I would say like respect for everybody involved, that she puts in 100%, that she's giving it her all, despite knowing that it's at times draining and it may be a stretch, and it's a stretch for the right reason. It's intentional. It's like climbing a mountain or like prepping for that marathon, and you're like, you're throwing up, and you're like, you're crying from pain, and you're throwing up because like you push yourself any further than any other training you've done. And I'm seeing this, you know, she's running fat, you know, with the analogy, going further, got better time, the marketing is getting better, the hiring process is improving, the all the aches and pains of the growing process, they're not easy. And I feel that often from the therapists that I've known, they haven't been trained for this. They haven't been given the resources for this. And it's not like, I can't say personally, but I can't imagine that in grad school, when you're learning how to be a therapist, you're excited and planning about starting your practice and all the admin work that goes along with it. Like, nobody's excited about all the admin work that's gonna go along with starting.
Yes,
like spreadsheets, KPIs,
SEO, woo! Yeah.
So like it's really exciting for me to see her embrace all of it and seeing the positive rewards that are being born from this, right? The fruits of her labor.
You read my mind. I was just going to say, it sounds like the fruits of her labor. And I just got to say, though, it's about to become like a whole love fest, because like seeing the support and hearing that support to my friend, which, Ron, you're also my friend too, but so hearing the support to my friend from her husband and that growth that you allow it, I feel like that, I mean, that deserves applause too. And you're not only there for the marketing growth, but having this background, being an independent and, you know, working for yourself for so long, that has also helped with the growth in another way. So absolutely, right? So I think that's amazing. And that's like, you've both given such a great example of how this can work from the professional aspect and from the personal aspect. And what's exciting is that we're also going to sit with, in these podcast episodes, all of the wonderful therapists and team and some extra guests that are also professionals in the field or have really influenced you in this practice and making your life the way you want it on your terms. You will also hear from them as well in these episodes. So we get a little take from everyone. While we are at the end of this one, sadly, I wanted to just thank you both for being so open and honest. I also wanted to ask you, what's happening next on that personal and that professional level? So what's happening next?
So on the professional, we're really excited to fill up all our therapists with clients, bring on more therapists for the next stage of growth for the organization, make sure that everybody has the opportunities they're looking for as we grow this business, as we help more people get the help they're looking for to be on their journey while we're on our journey. That's from the professional perspective. From the personal perspective, we're in the process. By the time this airs, we would have already sold our house and moved.
Woo!
Assuming everything goes somewhat according to plan or doesn't just go all kaput. We should, by the time this airs, have sold our house, moved out of the state where we've been living in for the past several years together, but the region for most of our lives. And I guess by the time this airs, we're somewhere traveling in Europe, I think, at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
This it's our present to ourselves for this journey of a ride of selling our house and uprooting our family. We're going to be digital nomads for a little while we work on growing the house, growing the business, which is our new house, essentially. It's where we're going to be spending most of our time focusing and growing that with really nothing else on our minds other than that and travel, where we are most free and our brains are in the state of flow. I think that's actually where we come up with most of our ideas. And
While we're traveling
and then just execute on them for the next 6 to 9 months until we travel again and then come up with something else. So
learning new experiences together. That's a big part, whether you're a couple or whether you're employees or whether you're friends, coworkers, get those new experiences in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, I mean, this podcast is one of the next big journeys that we're on, this new part of the business. As Aron said, you know, filling up our therapists with their ideal clients, continuing to build this. And I would say in our personal life, yes, by the time this airs, and you know, we have been intentional. We've been intentional with our time and we plan everything. And it doesn't mean that we always plan well because, you know, we're selling our house while we're expanding our business and doing all of these amazing things. So we're going on this roller coaster ride that we chose. And so we get to decide where it ends up or wherever we choose to pivot. But yeah, we'll be digital nomads for a little bit and then moving somewhere where it's sunny all year round so that I don't have to experience seasonal depression anymore, because that was intentional to the happiness and fulfillment of our life and being able to manage this business as well. So all the things, lots of big, exciting things coming up, but all good things.
Oh, it sounds so amazing. So you will be hearing more from Kira and Aron and myself in other episodes. So we'll be able to catch up with them and see the growth process.
And I just wanted to thank you, Daniela, so much for being able to really help us with this and take this on, because if it wasn't for you, we probably wouldn't be doing this, or definitely not right now. So thank you so much for being a huge part of this.
And being part of our journey
and our lives.
Allowing us to be part of your journey as well. Right. It's an honor and a privilege for us to be able to do this with you. And we appreciate you giving us the platform
and your time,
people, the platform.
Listen, you know, I would move into that spare bedroom wherever you are going, so I could spend all my time with you. So I told you this would be a big love fest happening, and so I appreciate that. And I'm just really excited to support you both so that people can see your greatness and see the love that you've given me and that you give your therapists. And it's really what we all need, especially right now in this day and year and month and
for a decade.
Everybody, I really hope that that is a great ending to show you what you will experience throughout this podcast, throughout Heal Your Roots Wellness. All of the information about the podcast is always on all of our streaming platforms that you can follow so that you can get updated on new episodes, which will release every 2 weeks. Now, I can't just let them go. They know that I love to surprise them. So one more quick question. Just so that everybody, again, really gets to know you. On the count of three, I want to hear, where is your favorite place to travel? 1, 2, 3.
Italy.
This is a Bivesta production.